Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 93, and we're continuing with the rejection series, and today is what do you do when you get rejections? Okay, look, I cannot soften the blow for you on this. I'm not going to pretend that there is some positive hack that you can do when you're getting rejections, because getting rejections sucks. That's whether you're getting rejections at the point where you're querying agents, or whether you're getting rejections when you are subbing to commissioning editors. It sucks. It's just not a nice feeling getting rejections. So I can't pretty it up. I can't say to you, hey, come on, there's this little hack that you can do and it makes the whole experience positive. The truth is, from the moment that you click send on emails, you will be checking to see whether or not you've got a response. It's just human nature. I don't mean literally the moment, because obviously we all know emails have to land and be read. But, you know, the next day you're probably thinking, oh, I wonder if they've had a chance to read it, because you hear the stories of people who get picked up within 24 hours, who have six offers within 24 hours and all that kind of stuff. So if it sucks, this process, and if we know things are not going to happen immediately, is there anything at all that we can do so that we can make the whole process of rejections slightly easier to handle? Well, I've got a little list for you of things that I think might help. I would say, by the way, that it's one of those things where something might work for you and it might not work for somebody else, or something might work for somebody else and it ain't going to work for you. The process I like to do, and I learned this from Denise Duffield Thomas, who wrote a book, Get Rich Lucky Bitch, and she talks of throw everything at it. So she says, if you don't think something will work for you, but you haven't even had a go at trying it, well, how do you really know whether or not something will work for you? So throw everything at it, have a go, see whether one of these things on the list work for you, try each of them out. And if one of them works for you, brilliant. If none of them work for you, well, okay, at least you know that those are things that there's no point you having a go at doing for yourself, because they're just not going to work for you. But give it a go, so at least you know. All right, let's start off with the obvious. And I would say this is, to me, is the most obvious, and that's being careful about what you count. I've heard so many stories of people who say how many rejections they've had, and I do wonder what the benefit is to our mental health of counting the number of rejections. Now, I'm all for having a sense of, well, I've been doing this for the last 3 months, am I actually wasting my time? I'm also for that whole thing of understanding, well, I've sent out probably, I don't know, something like 20 queries, and I have not heard anything back from those 20 queries. But if you are counting the actual number of rejections, maybe it's not good for you. There is a saying, isn't there, about we attract what we count. And if you are counting rejections, maybe, just maybe, you are attracting rejections. Now, remember in this context as well that when we talk about expectations, there is that thing of setting your own deadlines for when you're going to hear from people. So you might do like I did, which is about classing a rejection as being a rejection because you've gone past the number of weeks that you said, I'll give them 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks. And if I've not heard back by then, I will class that as a rejection. It's still going to hurt, even though you set the expectation for yourself. But again, be careful what you count. So I tend to do things like I'll count the number of things that have gone out to people, but not so much counting the number that have come back in. So I'm not going to count the number of rejections, but I would count the number of queries that I've sent out, or the number of submissions to commissioning editors that I've sent out, or my agent actually sent out. So there's something here for you to think about. What's the benefit to you of what you're actually counting? If it doesn't benefit you, you know, if the dream is to be able to say to people, look at this amazing publishing deal that I got after sending out to 120 agents and I got 98 rejections, and then you're able to say how many full requests you got, and then I got these six positive responses after all of that. If that's your aim, Are you strong enough? Are you thick-skinned enough to get through that 98 rejections before you get the full requests and the positive responses from people? If you're not, just don't count the number of rejections. Simply count the number of weeks since you sent your emails out. Okay, it's now gone 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks. It's time for me to move on to the next tranche of agents that I'm going to query. So I think that's a really, for me, a really fundamental thing to be aware of, what you're counting, so that you can then help yourself with your own mental health. Okay, the next thing is to think in terms of a reframe of rejections. What I mean by that is that sometimes we focus on the negative, the fact that we've been rejected, but maybe you also receive some emails from agents that's saying something positive about your work. And maybe that could be the thing that you focus on. All right, you've been rejected, but do you know what? You've had positive responses from people who've said, I really enjoyed your writing. So that tells you that you now are doing something that is worthwhile sending out to more agents. It just didn't land with those agents. Or maybe the reframe. I had one where it was a case of, I think it was within 24 hours or around about 24 hours-ish. And it was a straight off, thanks but no thanks. And I reframed it for myself as being, that agent wasn't the right agent for me. And I think that's a really useful reframe to use, because it's very easy to focus on, oh, that was a rejection. Actually, that was an indication that we weren't a good fit. And you know, Claire Coombs and I are such a good fit. I cannot have had a better agent for me. And so any rejections are simply telling you, no, you're not a good fit. So thank you. I can now move on to find that agent who is the good fit, the right fit. So a reframe can help you so that you have got a positive way of looking at it. And I'm going to add that caveat of, yeah, it does still suck. I'm not trying to pretend that it doesn't suck when you get the negative responses, the rejections, or the no response at all. But it does help to reframe, because you are actually giving your brain a more positive way of thinking of things. I haven't found an agent yet is a really good growth mindset way of looking at things, rather than I haven't got an agent. And your brain can't help but go on from there. I'll never get an agent. It's not going to work for me. If you add on the word yet, I haven't got an agent yet, that will actually help reframe, because the reframe there is, but I will get one. So look for a way to reframe. And if you struggle with reframing, follow me on Twix and you can ask me what's a good reframe for this thought pattern that I've got. And I'll happily help you work through a reframe for the thought pattern that you've got that you know and identify as not helpful to you. Okay, the next one on the list is to review, what have you actually been sending out? And is it the best it could possibly be? Now, that could be that it's your query letter. Have you been on an agent one-to-one and had somebody give you feedback on your query letter? Then you can have a look at your submission pack. Has that actually got the best quality synopsis that you could have in it? And are your first three chapters the best they could possibly be? You may, after the review, go, yeah, you know what, I'm really happy with my submission pack. I'm really happy with my query letter. You can have an agent one-to-one and be told, yeah, well done. I had one agent one-to-one where the agent focused on the story she felt I should have written rather than the one that I had written. Now, when I look back, that was a bad fit. So I chose wrongly, and I definitely see it was my fault for picking the wrong agent. So if you don't have a perfect experience in an agent one-to-one, do that reflection and review. Did you use the right agent for an agent one-to-one so that you could get the right feedback for what your purposes are? I also wish, when I look back, that I had stopped that agent and said, hang on, my question to you was about this submission pack, not the one that you wish I'd sent through. I didn't. I regret that because I'm not exactly a wallflower. I am somebody who is an introvert and is shy, but because of the jobs that I've done through my career, I'm not a wallflower. I do speak up for myself despite my shyness. So yeah, I wish I had done that. But anyway, so review what you're sending out. Is the submission pack the best it could be? Is your manuscript, the sample of your manuscript that you're sending in, the best it could be? The next one is to simply accept the process of moving on. When we wake up in the morning, we activate something called the RAS, and I do struggle remembering exactly what the RAS stands for. It's something that I do know as part of my profession. You'd think I would be able to stick with it in my head, but I can't. That's something about the whole process of what I'm about to say to you, actually. So what we tell ourselves, our brain proves to us. So I tell my brain I can never exactly remember what a RAS is in our brain. So my brain likes to prove to me, do you know what? You're right. You can't remember it. So here we go. We'll make sure you definitely can't remember it. Thanks, brain. But the thing in terms of rejections is that, remember what I said about consider and be careful about what you count. If you're counting your rejections and your thoughts are all about your rejections, what's your brain going to do? It's going to think about the rejections. And particularly if you're thinking about those in a more relaxed state or when you first wake up, the RAS is most activated by those early thoughts. And the RAS then informs our brain, this is important. Being rejected is important to this human. So let's show the human other things that they're rejected at. So we look for other forms of rejection as well. And that could be, I don't get enough likes on social media. Nobody seems to engage with my posts. Or it could be, I go to events and nobody ever talks to me, because we're actually looking for the form of rejection for going to events where we don't know anybody and we don't do anything beforehand to connect with people through social media. So the brain is educating us to know that we're right to believe in us being rejected. It's really important then, this next step, to accept the process of moving on. And there's different ways that you can move on. I use tapping, which I have covered in a previous episode, but if you've not listened to that one, tapping is called emotional freedom technique, and you tap on different parts of your body. There's nothing weird about this, by the way. It literally is about a kind of like a distraction therapy, if you like, and it helps us to let go of things. It helps us to reframe in our mind the thing that we're holding on to in our mind. And you can do it for literally everything. So you can do it for chocolate craving. You can do it for relationship issues. I have to do it at times in my relationship with my mother because she knows how to press the buttons. You can also use it though for rejections. So as you're tapping, you have a script, and a script for rejection could be something like, it's okay that I haven't found an agent yet. The fact that I've been rejected means that I'm ready for the agent that is right for me. I'm okay with receiving these rejections. I'm okay to move on from these rejections. I'm okay to look for the positive in the process of finding an agent. And there's other versions of that. Again, if you want a script, please do contact me on social media, and I'm more than happy to help you work through a short script for you that you can use with tapping. If you don't know the tapping points, if you simply Google emotional freedom technique or EFT or tapping, you are likely to find images that will show you the points that you tap on. But a guy that I love to follow on YouTube is called Brad Yates. And Brad Yates has tapping for all kinds. He does tapping for negative thinking. He does tapping for not being able to sleep. His sleep one, he yawns in the middle because he's actually doing it when he's not been able to sleep well himself, and says, I might as well record it. Every time I listen to it, it sends me off yawning. So it actually works just for the fact of his yawning. He does it around money mindset. Literally anything and everything that you can think of, he does a tapping video on. And I've used tapping, for example, when I've been doing interviews, as in I've been interviewed. And I've used tapping when I've been going in to do a major presentation to senior colleagues and had to ask for, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds for projects that I've been working on. And I've been nervous about it. So I have tapped under the table, and whilst they're still talking about the previous item item on the agenda, I'm tapping to deal with that nervousness that I feel. I know on my launch night, I will be nervous. I can tell you now, I will be tapping because it will help me to do the moving on. If you think this is a bit woo-woo, I can tell you now that there are celebrities who use tapping to help them be able to deal with their stage fright and go on stage, go in front of camera, because they've discovered it actually works, because it takes the brain into a whole new space and lets it let go. It's that distraction therapy, and it helps them to move on. The other tool that I use for moving on is the forgiveness mantra, Ho'oponopono. That's Ho'oponopono. And Ho'oponopono, or the forgiveness mantra, helps us again to do some of that letting go. And I have a slight adaptation to it that I use. So it's a Hawaiian forgiveness mantra, but I use a slight variation where I say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, thank you, I love you. And I say it about myself, but I would also say it. So if you're doing it in terms of rejection and you had a favourite agent and they've rejected you, rather than getting upset about it, you can say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, thank you, I love you, and move on. I've done both the tapping and the forgiveness mantra together, and it becomes even more powerful. No idea why, but it does. Okay, so that's moving on. The last thing on the list is a combination of writing and reading. So first off, I'd say absolutely read as much as you can, because if nothing else, you're able to learn from how other people have written things. So just read anything and everything, your own genre, different genres, just soak in other people's writing. Maybe that will show you some ways in which your writing could be improved. And before you send out the next tranche of query emails to agents, you could perhaps do a bit more work on your novel because you've realized something from reading. There's very few books that I've read where I haven't learned something about my own writing. Either something that, ooh, I do that too, and I'm hating it in this person's writing. Or alternatively, oh, wow, that is a beautiful turn of phrase. I love how they've done that. Or I love that way of using dialogue. I love that kind of tag. Is there a way that I can improve my own writing to learn from what this person's using? So read, because it actually helps to teach you. You could also read some books on writing. And again, you're learning something from it. Go to your local library if you can't afford to buy every single book that you would love to buy on writing. Go to your local library and ask them to get some of those books in for you so that you can actually benefit from free learning from what people say is really good to do with writing technique. I love Sol Stein, Stein on Writing. I think his is brilliant. It's got lots of very short, sharp tips that are useful. And Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird is a fabulous one. And then obviously you'll have heard of books like Save the Cat, or Save the Cat Writes a Novel. I also love Take Your Pants Off? I think it's called Take Your Pants Off or something like that, by Libby Hawker. And that's about moving from being a pantser to a plotter. And I used that approach for writing Garden of Her Heart, or rather for plotting Garden of Her Heart. And that really helped me. So read as much as you can. But also write. Get on with writing something else. You could write short stories if you've written a novel. You could write memoir if you've written a novel. If you've written memoir, you could try writing a novel or writing some short stories. You could try writing a feature article so that you get into practice of writing a feature article. You could try improving your synopsis. If you have already produced a synopsis and it was painful to do it, now do it where there's no pressure. Could you actually write a better synopsis because there is no pressure on you? Go and write something that is completely different from what you would normally write. So I'm writing feel-good fiction. Maybe I could go off, and I don't think I would do this because I don't read this kind of novel, but I was going to say, maybe I could go off and write sci-fi. I could. I don't think I will. But I could go off and perhaps try writing crime or thriller. I could go and revisit the historical fiction novel that I've got. I don't have to be sticking to the genre I write in for doing some writing that's about distracting me. Go and just have some fun with your writing. So they're the tips. As I say, I can't make this all so that I can say to you, oh, do you know what? There's some amazing positive thinking things you can do that turn around getting rejections and make it so you don't get rejections, or make it when the rejections come through that you're cock-a-hoop and doing a little dance. I can't make it so that it's all dressed up into being something positive for you. What I can say, though, are that these small techniques that I've talked about will help. And I have mentioned in the past about the ABC, and this might be a time where the ABC will help you. So first off, acknowledge how you feel. Acknowledge that this is absolutely rubbish. You've had another rejection and it feels, do you know, you could cry. You could absolutely blow a gasket because that was your favourite agent. Whatever it is, acknowledge what you're feeling. B is to breathe. So you breathe into that feeling. So you think about that feeling and you breathe into it. And then just breathe out slowly. And then you consider your options. And by considering your options, you can revisit the list that we've gone through here today in this episode and pick one of those out to test it and see if it works for you. Okay, there we go. I hope that helps you a little bit. But know that you are in a place when you're being rejected, you're in a place that we've all been through. I think there's barely anybody out there who has not had some form of rejection. And you know, there's a high likelihood that people who have not had a rejection for a novel that is now going out there or is out there, they may well have had other novels that they had queried that they're actually not talking about, those rejections. So as I say, there's very few people who haven't experienced rejection. So maybe it's just part of the club and part of what we have to accept in order to be able to get that thicker skin for the rest of the journey we go on as writers, as authors. So I hope that helps you. I will leave you to it for now. May the words flow for you. May the rejections not feel so bad for you. And I will see you on the next episode.